But we're going to be looking at Luke tonight, Luke chapter 15, and we're going to start down in verse 11. And if you've got one of those fancy Bibles that gives you titles over a certain portion of your Bible, it will tell you that we're going to be talking about the prodigal son tonight. The prodigal son tonight. I'm going to put my glasses on so I can see just a little bit better. I have arrived. But before I get in, let me go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you. We magnify you, God. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, use me in a mighty way. God, that you would just speak through me tonight. Just as we read the word at times and stuff that we've read before, verses we've read, you allow things to jump off in our spirit even the more. So, Lord, I pray that you would set me behind your cross that only you have seen and heard tonight. It's not about me, never has been, but it's all about you. And so we lift you up tonight and ask, oh, Lord, for your guidance. Lead me, order me now. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So I'm just going to jump right in. I don't have a story I'm going to tell or open up with an introduction or any of those things. I'm just going to jump into this scripture. I can't see the clock with these glasses on. Bless you, Lord, oh, my soul. Okay. But let's look at verse 11 of chapter 15 in Luke. You've all read this or heard this, and we're going to talk about it tonight, and maybe I can share something with you that you hadn't thought about or maybe kind of had a certain spin or bend on it, but I'm going to try to do that tonight. And so let's read. It says, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, now that's crazy, but it's not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, got all his stuff, brought all of his things, packed all of his bags, and he journeyed to a far country and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine, pigs, hogs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach, come on somebody, with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. And then verse 17 says, but when he came to himself, come on, say he came to himself. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. Again, he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, What do these things mean? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment in any at any time. And yet you have never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as the son, this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf with him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is now found." I want to talk to you from a subject that I have titled tonight, "Don't Get It Too Soon." Look at your neighbor tonight and say, "Don't get it too soon." What are you saying, Pastor Avery? I'm saying that there is an inheritance. There is something that is waiting on you. There is a gift. There is an opening in heaven that God wants to pour out his goodness. And sometimes when we see others receiving, when we see others getting things and having things, and we begin to pray and want and covet the things that we see, and then sometimes the Lord will open up heaven and let it fall on you, and then you end up like this son, because you're not ready. What is prodigal? Prodigal is spending money or resources freely and recklessly, wastefully, extravagantly, wasting and throwing away money. So this son decides one day, I don't know what happened. I don't know if he woke up, bumped his head. I don't know what happened, but he decided at some point he had heard about a trust fund. And he said, I have come of age. Trust fund wasn't going to be able to be available to me until I was 25. I am 25, and now I want to go and sow my royal oats. So he gets the bright idea, and he says to his father, "Can you please break me off my piece? Let me have mine now." So he got the money. His dad didn't talk about his dad arguing and fussing with him. Didn't say he was going back and forth. It says that his dad gave him his inheritance. And it says not after but a few days. You know how we do when we get a little money in our pocket. Oh, we grown now. Your kids have done it. Oh, I'm 18. I've graduated high school. I got this. And you go running out that door. Got your bags packed. You start packing up stuff and trying to take stuff. That ain't yours. That's not yours either. I don't know if anybody's ever had to tell their kids that. That dress is not yours. That chest is not yours. That bed frame and those mattresses don't belong to you. When you leave here today, then you just take the clothes that are in that closet. They're really mine. I either bought them or gave you the money for you to buy them, so all of it's mine. But go ahead, get your bags, pack your stuff. If you feel like you're going to be happier out there, then go ahead and do it. This son packed up all his things, got all of his stuff, and left. I like it how the Bible says that he went off to Dubai. He couldn't just stay and run over to Walton County. He couldn't go over into Cobb County. He had to go off to a far country. So he says, "Shoot, I'm gonna do it where they do it big. I'm going to Dubai." Got all of his stuff and he loaded up and got out there, and stuff got real. So you know how we do when we feel like we got a little money in our pockets. And, you know, y'all forgive me if this is too much for you, but he was out there and he was making it rain. Everywhere that he went, he was making it rain. And you know how it is when you have a little money, you have a little prestige, and you all of a sudden become important. So then you start gathering around. You don't gather them. They just kind of show up. Buzzards come to feed. Because they see you have something, and so now there's this attraction where folks begin to show up in your life. Mess around and play the lottery if you want to and win. I stop at a little old store off in the country somewhere and get one ticket. Lord, if you do it, I'm leaving. I'm out. Nobody gonna call me cousin so-and-so. Oh, I'm your auntie, baby. Baby, I ain't never seen you before. But see, when you have something, people want to gather around you because they want to catch what's falling from the table. They want to take what's on the table. If you're not even paying attention, they'll take that too. Buying drinks and setting it out, they say, for everybody to have a good time. And then the Bible says that the money ran low. He had spent all that he had, and he found himself in a predicament. And now he has nothing. You've taken all your stuff, packed your bags, got you a plane ticket, flew your behind all the way over to Dubai, and now you spend all your money. See, it's hard when you get side. I like to tell it like this. Sometimes you just have to figure out how to stay in your lane. And sometimes you get outside your lane and you find yourself in a situation where, wow, nobody knows me here. And the people that had flocked around you when you had something, oh, please understand, when the well dried up, they disappeared. Nobody was really your friend. They just was there for what they can get from you, what they could use you for. So this son has used all of his money, but then the Bible talks about him coming to himself. It got so bad, y'all, that he said, I'm gonna find something. I gotta find something because I don't have anywhere to stay. I don't have anything to eat. That's bad. When you can't put a few nickels together and get you a pack of rum and get you a pack of weenies, and that'll last you for 12 days. Get you a 12 pack of rum and 8 weenies. You can cut up a half a weenie in every bag or every package. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just telling you about my life. I'm sorry. Now you make a gourmet meal for 28 cent. But the Bible says it got bad, so bad to the point where he had to join up with a citizen from Dubai. He had to join up with somebody from that far country and join up with them. And the man didn't have anything for him but to go and take care of the hogs. I'm almost afraid to ask this question. Anybody ever slop hogs before other than me? 1, 2, 3, 4. Slop hogs. You collect food and all the leftovers from your neighbors and all your leftovers and add a little water to it. And you let that sit and it marinates and becomes sour. And then you just take that 5-gallon bucket and scoop you a big bucket of it and just kind of pour it off into that trough. And they come a running. The Bible says that it got so bad that he not only had to serve and feed the swine, that he was so hungry that he debated on whether he was going to grab one of them corn cobs that was in the trough. And there was a switch in his head that went off. Wait a minute. My daddy's got servants at his house that's doing way better than what I'm doing right now. So what I need to do is just humble myself and realize that I've made a mistake. I've messed up. And now I need to go back and not only ask for forgiveness from my heavenly Father, but I need to ask for forgiveness from my earthly Father and tell him that I've made some mistakes and now I wanna make it right. I wanna do the right thing. Can I come back? Because see, my daddy has more than enough. How many of you know that your father has more than enough tonight? You have to be careful that you don't get it too soon. Because sometimes if you get it too soon, then you don't know how to handle it. You don't know how to deal with it. You've not gone through enough trial and tribulations to figure out, wow, when I get hold of it, then I know how to take care of it. I know how to protect it. I may know how to invest it and put it somewhere. Or I know how to just put me a little nest egg over here for when times get hard. Don't get it too soon. So I was reading this scripture. I saw some things that just kind of stood out to me. And it says this right here, if I can hop in. And it says, after he had debated about eating these pods and eating some slop and coming to himself, it says that he arose and came to his father. And he said, make me like one of your servants. But he was still a great way off from his dad's property when he was had come to himself and figured out that he got to go back or needed to go back. And I love this piece right here. He said, but when he was still a great way off, and I don't know what's in your mind when you hear a great way off. I can just see a house sitting way back off the property, and then there's a long flat road that kind of leads all the way to the house. And when he turned the corner on that street and he turned into the driveway, the Bible says that the dad didn't stay over here and wait for him. It said that when he was still a far ways off, when he was still out of distance, that his dad saw him. And this makes me feel like that the father was even looking for him every day. Because you can't just happen up on today that the son showed up. And now I'm standing here looking out, but I feel like in my spirit, he was there every day, standing out in front of the house saying, oh, Jesus, Lord, would you please bring my son back home? I know he's struggling. The father was feeling something in his spirit. And he said, Lord, if you'll just bring my son home, I don't know if he's dead or alive. Lord, if you'll just bring him back to me. And I feel like the dad was just standing and looking. How many of you know that the Father is looking for you? Sometimes we lose our way. Sometimes we forget all that God has blessed us with, and we sometimes get these inheritances and we fall into this money. We win a little bit of lottery or something and we lose our mind and think we can just run off and cut off all our family and friends and just do our thing. But not only an earthly father that's looking for you, there's a heavenly father that's standing off in the distance. And as long as you've been gone and as long as you struggle, he's standing and looking for his son, for his daughter who's lost their way. And he's just saying, I'm here, son. I'm here, daughter. And God doesn't wait for us to just run to him. He comes to us and he falls on our neck and he kisses us. If you keep reading, the Bible said that he had compassion. When he reached him, he fell on his neck and he kissed him. He had compassion. I also feel like the father didn't meet him with anger and frustration and disappointment. You know how folks will do when you break them and you hurt their feelings and they leave too soon, and you just because you cut them off, they feel some type of way. Or you think you don't know us. You think you're better than us. I don't know about you, but I've had some family members that you just because you went to college, you think you all of that. I've never once shown you a picture to say that I was all of that. I just decided in my mind that I wanted to go to college. I didn't want to stay around here. I wasn't happy with just standing around in a barrel and breaking up pallets and burning them and talk about all the stuff I did back in my past and all of the things that I accomplished to this point. I wanted more than that. So don't be angry at me or upset with me because I didn't just hang around in the city I grew up in. But you have families when you show up at the family reunion or get together at the get together and they stand across the way looking at you. And you go stand by that other cousin. Look at him. Thank you all that. Just because he went to college. Him old fat bald head self. that's what's so awesome about the Father. He don't care how bad you messed up. He don't care how many mistakes you made. He don't care about all the wrong that you've done in the time that you've been away from him. All he's concerned is about is that you come back and find him. And he don't just wait for you to show up. He's looking for you. Every morning he's waiting on you to spend time with him. Every morning that you wake up and you don't pray and you just walk out the door and get in your car and go do your day, he is still there waiting on you, looking for you. Looking for you. His dad wasn't mad and angry at him. He was happy. He was elated that my son's not dead. He's alive. Go get a robe for my son who's alive. Put it on him. Go get a ring and put it on his hand. Oh, I've done some things. I messed up real bad, but I'm going to set him up real good, even though he's already gotten his inheritance. You know, as I read this story, as I was reading this parable, I was thinking, Lord, does that mean that he's going to get another inheritance? So when his daddy passes away, is he going to set it up again? You ever read the word and do that? Because I'm reading and looking for stuff that ain't there. Because I'm wondering, in my flesh, I'm going, I'm like the older son. Wait a minute now. We ain't never had a shindig like this for me, and I never left. I stayed here to help and serve and do what you asked me to do. But when he come back, his sorry behind gets a party. I'm your cousins. Sometimes your brothers. Now stand over to the side, looking side eye, trying to make sense. See, God does stuff that don't make sense. He ain't the kind of guy that takes stuff and because you done made mistakes and messed up, he just hovers it over your head just as a reminder to let you know, hey, I got you. You already messed up once. So I'm going to let this stay floating over your head so that you can keep looking up and be reminded. He is not that God. He is a God who takes your sin and takes your stuff and he throws it as far as the Bible says the east is from the west. He throws it into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remind you of it again. If anybody reminds you of it, it ain't nobody but the enemy. See, we can't get it too soon. I'll tell you this story about a five-year-old. Some of you may have a five-year-old or you got kids that have been five before. But I don't think any parent in this room or anybody that is an adult would ever buy a car for a five-year-old. And then take the five-year-old and put him behind the wheel and says, look, son, what I've given to you. This is a blessing. Go. See, although the car is fine and the car is ready to do what the car was built to do, and although that there's a road out here and there's some lines in it to help keep things in order, even though that there's some lights and some stop signs and some signs to tell you what to do and what's coming up ahead, it doesn't mean that a five-year-old is ready to receive a car. And God is just wanting us to just be a little bit more patient when it comes to things, so that we're not in a situation that we are 5 years old and trying to sit behind a vehicle's wheel and drive down a highway. And we find ourselves either damaged, hurt, or killed because we got it too soon. And we have to be careful and know that God has a plan for our lives. He's got a plan. And we've got to be careful that we don't get out in front of him and mess this thing up. Because, see, we can be impatient. Find ourselves standing in line at the restaurant. You know, I was waiting on my daughter today. I was getting ready to take her to dance. And since the dance season is kind of starting, got to play this weekend, and next weekend we got a competition, and just a lot going on. So on Wednesdays now, she's been having practice to get ready for these things. And so usually I'll pick them up at the house, drive up to High Point, get over, come up 78, and I swing through the Chick-fil-A. You know, one of them is fast food, but not my oldest. My oldest child is fasting some other things. So we pull in, and I'm sitting there. The line is wrapped around the building. I said, "Sweet, I'm gonna let you out. I'm gonna give you some money, and you just go in and get it. I can't do it." I said, "I don't know if I'm gonna get back to church on time. So, you just go in." And as I'm sitting there, this is the common sense in me. I'm looking at the car I would have been behind if I had pulled on around and got in line, and I just gonna sit over here on the side and see who gets there first. And so as she gets her food, the car that I would have been behind pulls off. I said, "See, we would have been that car right there." That's just the analytic side of my head. That's kind of going off right there. But I'm sitting there, I'm waiting, and I'm like, my God, I see people that went in after her coming out. And you have to know this. Don't tell my daughter, don't tell my wife. My oldest child, she is the child with book sense, okay? She is not the child with common sense. So I'm sitting in my car going, what has she gone in there and done that people that went in after her are coming out before her? And I'm getting impatient, and I'm looking at the clock, and I'm going, come on, man. Because we want what we want when we want it. And God is not a God who wants it. He's so particular about his timing. And when we get on board with his timing, boy, things for us will become so much better and clearer when we get on his time and not ours. But we spend so much time praying to get things before it's time. God has a plan. See, this son got his too soon. He wasn't ready to take care of his inheritance. He blew it. He blew all the money and didn't make the investments. He didn't put the nest egg on the side. So when the well dried up, he found himself in a situation. And some of us have even found ourselves there, because some of us have been prodigal, and most possibly will become prodigal at some point. I'm not speaking it over your life, but I'm just telling you what is. But thank God he was smart enough to wake up and come to himself and realize that he had a Father in heaven who loved him dearly, who cared for him deeply and knew exactly what he wanted to do in his life. God is always standing there. The Father is always standing there with open arms waiting for us to wake up and come to our senses and understand that this life, this world doesn't care for you. This world wants to take your life. This world wants to kill you. This world wants to find you hungry and dead over in a ditch somewhere. But we have a Father who cares. I want to leave you with three lessons from the prodigal son tonight. And these are not really things that you can kind of write down, because they're long and lengthy. But I want to read them to you tonight. Three lessons from the prodigal son. Number one, if you truly are the good kid or the good child, look no further than within your own heart. Are you happy with how the Father is treating you on a daily basis by providing food and shelter, a job, a family, his unconditional love, comfort, and grace? If so, I believe the answer would be yes. Number two, if you're the prodigal son, which we all are at some point due to our human sin, be grateful for the unconditional love and forgiveness that will greet you when you come back home. Make a concerted effort to curb further disobedience and disrespect. Number three, what I've realized the parable of the prodigal son is really about is living your life between you and God and not worrying about anyone else in their personal journey. Be thankful he's there for us. When we follow him, and will always, he will always be there and welcome us back when we come to our senses. See, when we get it too soon, it is most likely that it'll cause us to have separation from the Father. When we get it too soon, it'll probably put us in a situation where we end up turning our backs on our family and our friends. When we get it too soon, it's most likely that we will lose everything that we have because we've gotten it too soon. There is preparation and process that God has for us to go through. There's preparation and process and things that we have to experience and walk into and walk out of. And God is using those things to teach us lessons and teach us about what's next, so that when we arrive in the place that he has for us and he opens up all that he has to give us and gives us this inheritance, then it's not something that will overwhelm us because he's been preparing us the whole time. I don't want you tonight to look at all of the adversity and the things that you've gone through as something that is for you to feel like God is keeping something from you or he's cheating you from something. You got to be careful not to be to looking left and to be looking right, but to make sure that we're looking at him. Because I don't know about you, if you've ever driven your car and you find yourself, or I know you've been in, this is Atlanta, so you're out on 85 or 285 and, you know, traffic is going along great. All of a sudden, it gets bogged down. All you got is Christmas lights in front of you. And you drive along, and you drive along, and you finally get to the spot, and all it is somebody pulled over, got a flat tire. But because you didn't focus on what was ahead of you, you spend all of your time looking to the left or to the right, and now it slowed down the process. And sometimes if you're not careful and you're not paying attention, then you'll mess around and cause it to even be a worse situation that arises from it because you're not focused. We got to make sure that we stay focused on the Father, focused on God, focused on our relationship with Jesus so that we don't get distracted by things on our left and on our right, and definitely not behind us. You've heard this adage before. The reason why your rearview mirror is smaller than your glass, your windshield, is because that's not where you're supposed to focus. You don't spend your life looking at the at the rearview mirror trying to get this way. There's a reason why the stuff in the mirror is smaller than the things, because that's not where we're supposed to focus. Not to the left, not to the right, not to the area behind us. Don't mess. Come on, Gary. Don't mess with the process. Well, Pastor Avery, you just don't understand, and it's just been so long, you know. I've been going through the same foolishness, you know, over and over again, and I just, you can't be talking to me. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I've said this before, sometimes we get into a situation where, wow, we were at one place and things were bad. And then we say, oh, you know what? I'm gonna pack up everything and I'm moving to a whole nother area of the world. And God is saying, no, son, I need you to just work through where you are. Because what we end up doing is we just take the same stuff to a different place. The same issues, the same faults, the same mistakes, the same state of mind. And you find yourself, you've moved five times trying to outrun this thing. You can't outrun God. You cannot cheat the process. God has a process that he's taking you through so that he can develop in you what you're going to be. So that at the appointed time, I love that scripture, Galatians 6 and 9. At the appointed time, you will reap a harvest if you don't quit. If you don't give up, keep walking, keep running. Don't quit, don't give up. But it's so easy for us to say, you know what, man, I'm done. We've said this before, man, you're right on the edge. Right on the edge of the breakthrough. But because we're impatient, we turn around and we go back or we move somewhere else. And God says, it was right there. It was right there. We've got to develop a patience and trust him through the process. Man, I fall down, but I get up. And whatever tripped me up this time, I know not to do that again. And so it prepares me for the next thing, and I know not to do that again. And I fall down again, but every situation that I gotta learn from it. And then I continue to move forward into what God has for me. Trust the process. If we jump ahead, if we get it too soon, we might miss vital information in preparation for when that inheritance is really due, when due season is really here. So don't look at what somebody else has. I mean, it's hard, right? It's hard sometimes, true. What is he doing that I'm not doing, Lord? He don't even serve you. Don't be concerned with that. You don't know what they did to get it, and you don't know how soon they're going to lose it. Because see, when God gives it to you in his time, it'll be yours. And it'll be yours to keep. You won't lose it. If you just stay the course. But Lord, he don't even love you like I love you. Lord, do I love you? Stop trying to measure yourself against somebody else, against someone else. Measure yourself. Jesus, the Lord and the Word of God is the taunt line. That's the line. Am I doing the things that please God? Am I doing the things? Am I, even when I fall down and I get up and I know, Lord, you're so faithful. Thank you. Because you got to understand that I don't care what you're going through. Seriously. There's always somebody going through something worse. I don't know how many of you have been out of the country before, but I've been out of the country a few times, and I've never been to a place where there weren't situations and people going through worse situations than me. I have never had to walk the streets and beg for loose coins and what somebody else has left over in order to take care or provide for my family. I've never had to grab covers and keep all of my stuff with me and sleep on any bridge. I've never had to take a tent and put it out in the woods and walk the streets all day and sleep in a tent at night. I have never. And I would venture to say none of you have done it either. There might be one or two. But you did that because you were the prodigal son. You thought you were old enough and mature enough and ready enough, and so you just struck out and started to do your own thing, and it all came crumbling down. But there's a father who is waiting to fall on your neck and kiss you and throw you the biggest party ever, because he's glad that you're still alive and not dead. Aren't you glad tonight that we serve a God of another chance? See, some folks, man, I'm glad he's a God of a second chance. Lord, I need way more than that. I still got some stuff I got to ask for forgiveness for him for this morning. So glad that he's waited on me, that when I bumped my head and thought I was more than I was, he was still there waiting for me to come back and receive me with open arms, to forgive me. Sometimes we're not all that forgiving. You know, I think about my kids and, you know, Lord Jesus, these girls. And I think back, man, I was like, man, did I take my mom and dad through all these loops? But you know, it's a different time. It's a different time. And I got to take all of that into account and try to parent these kids and not lose my salvation and not do something that's going to ruin their lives. Make them think that their father, their heavenly, their earthly father didn't love them. Because they frustrate you so bad. So bad. And then I talk to some of you that have older kids and you don't help me. You don't help me. I need y'all to help me. I was talking to a parent the other day. And I said, man, I've been telling them stuff since they were little girls. Hey, look, this is what it is. You're going to go to school. You're going to go to high school. You're going to graduate. We're going to get you into college. We're going to get you into some kind of trade. Or we're going to have to get you into the military. But you got to get out of my house. And they said, yeah, I said the same stuff. But they keep coming back. I don't want them to come back. Well, I said, but I would have to have some conversations with parents who kids have left and gone and they don't ever come back, and to understand that pain. But right now, all I can see is the pain I'm dealing with right now. Not because I don't love them, but man, I want to train them up in the way that they should go so that when they get older, they might bump their heads. And they might get lost up in the mix, but enough has been poured into them that they wake up and they come to themselves and they find their way back to the Father. It ain't easy. It's not easy. Some of y'all have got them grown and they gone and they got wives and husbands and babies. Lord Jesus. I left home, and I'm a boy, so I left home, and the only time I came back was for the holidays, and I was good with that. If I need to go and take care of mom or take care of dad, that's one thing, but I don't want you to come back here and live. Me and your mama got some stuff to catch up on, some trips we need to take, some stuff we need to do. Come on, let's stand on our feet tonight. Hey, look at your neighbor tonight. Amen. Look at your neighbor tonight and just say, don't get it too soon. Trust the process. Trust the process. Amen. Father, we just thank you. Look, before I go into that, look, I know we've been praying for Dr. Novell. I want you guys to continue to pray for Gwen and for Rob and for Pastor. You know, unless God works a miracle, he's probably closer to heaven than he is back here. So I want you to just pray, just in this season. It's tough for Miss Barbara to see her husband, you know. And she's been taking care of him a good little while, but it's just tough to see her husband. You know, we went up, Pastor Renee and I went yesterday and got a chance to spend some time they got family and everything. So Pastor and Gwen, that's what they've been doing. They've been taking a night shift Pastor Rob and Jenny have been doing the morning shift and kind of sharing the load and spending time and receiving family that have been coming in. And but y'all just continue to pray. You know, I pray, we pray with them, and I know that we want our will to be done, but it's not our will, it's His will. And it's been a few times in the Bible where there's been prayers that have been prayed and God changed His mind on some things, but I don't know what God wants to do. And Lord, all we can do is trust Him. So you guys remember them, keep them lifted up. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And I know that some of you have already gone through it. You've walked through it. You've seen it happen. But just pray for them and keep them lifted up. Amen. Come on, let's pray tonight. Father, we thank You, God, for this new year. We thank You, Lord God, for all that You're doing. God, continue to, Lord, order our steps. God, also, as I always say and pray, Lord, as Your word speaks in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, to lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge You. And if we do that, God, you said that You make our path straight. So I pray that right now, God, over Your people, God, over Pastor Tony and Gwen and Rob and Jen and Miss Barbara. I pray, Father, right now for the family that, Lord, You would cover them, Lord, and embrace them. Let Your arms just wrap around them and let them know, God, that You're right there with them. And Lord, I just pray for supernatural peace. Peace that passes all understanding now. Would God envelop them, overtake them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, whatever Your will is, that's what we want. That's what our prayer is, God, that Your will would be done. So, Father, I pray right now that You would set it up, that there would be peace that is that can't be understood. And Lord, if You want to make something that's impossible possible, Lord, we know that You're able, so that you do it, Father, right now. And Lord, I just thank You for these Your people that You've brought here tonight. I pray for safe travel as they go home. Lord, continue to watch over them and keep them. Lord, whatever they're going through, whatever they're dealing with, whatever the troubles, whatever the pain, God, I pray right now that You would minister to their hearts right now and let them know that You've not left them nor forsaken them, God, that You know exactly what's going on. And I pray, Father, right now that You would give them peace right now. Cover them, Father God. Whatever needs to be provided, we know that, Lord, You own the cattle of 1,000 hills, Father, right now. So, Father, whatever the inheritance is, Lord, I pray that, Lord, we're ready and prepared. Lord, that we're not getting it too soon, but, Lord, that we're getting it right on time to take care of everything that we need to take care of. So, Father, we lean upon You. We trust You. We ask, oh, Lord, that You'd have Your way. Bless, oh, God, tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name.